This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It is Game Time Decisions. We are live on Sports Grid with you on this Monday night. I'm Kevin Walsh, and we have 2 hours to set it up and knock it down. A full basketball board, NBA, and a few college games as well. One ranked spot tonight with the Houston Cougars going. Let's not waste some time, and I'll give you a little bit of action. I'm going to go against your ranked Cougars, and I'll take TCU in a Big 12 battle. Catching 18.5 points. If you look, this number to me, a little inflated due to the nature that Houston was able to roll BYU in their first home game in conference play. BYU, better than TCU? Not by this much. You saw those Cougars only catch about 10.5. I think the Horned Frogs here, who are a pretty good defense and a much slower basketball team, it's always tough to score against Houston. So for TCU, it's nothing new. I think they can stay inside this number here, though, tonight on the road in Big 12 play. We'll get to the NBA board, a few really interesting spots. And I think what is, for me, your game of the night between Sacramento and Miami, two teams in turmoil who, one maybe looking to turn the corner, the other looking to press the eject button on their superstar, that, of course, being Jimmy Butler. But we also have your NFL playoff bracket set. It is finalized 1-7 in the AFC and the NFC. And tonight we will get our first look at a lot of these lines and options here. You see how it sits right now in the AFC. A reminder if you need it, because it does seem that every year everyone needs it, so that's fine. Lowest seed is who? Kansas City. And Detroit will be going up against, we reseed in the NFL playoffs. Let's take a look, game by game, the initial thought process and what just jumps off the page. The postseason will begin in Houston with a home dog. The Texans check into this game, catching 2.5 from the LA Chargers. We have 14 teams in the playoffs. At this moment, it feels as if, to me, the Houston Texans are being priced as the worst team in the NFL playoffs. The Chargers being road favorites is not insignificant. Projected look-ahead lines saw the Steelers pick them, if not shaded favorite, in this building. That is what the Chargers were able to get themselves with their win yesterday against Vegas. The chance to be favored in a football game in the opening round despite going on the road. And if I'm correct that the books are seeing them play what is the worst team in the National Football League's postseason picture, I would also argue that the team they avoided is by sports books right now being viewed as the best team. That's the Baltimore Ravens, a 9.5 point favorite presently against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think Baltimore is the best team in football. I think Baltimore's ceiling is incredible. I don't remember them ever carrying their ceiling over into the postseason. But if you look, the Ravens, now that we are here in the playoffs, have found themselves jumping. jumping the Buffalo Bills in Super Bowl pricing in some spots. It is incredible to see the way the Ravens are priced, who were the actual best team in football last year and got to a conference title game at home against Kansas City and forgot what was going on. I will say, this game here against Pittsburgh feels as if it will tell us everything. Because the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers typically is a very easy handicap. Take the points, enjoy the game. That's how it plays out. That's how it played out in their first meeting when Pittsburgh pulled off a very slight upset. It is not at all how it played out in their second meeting this year where the Ravens rolled. And if the Ravens roll again, maybe this year will be different for Baltimore. Also, if the Ravens roll again, you gotta have conversations in Pittsburgh about your direction. I'm not saying fire Mike Tomlin, but you certainly cannot continue to go at it with somebody who thinks extending Russell Wilson is a good idea. The clock has hit midnight on that situation some time ago. We will continue to see how this line trends. I think Baltimore will be one of the most popular sides of the NFL wild card weekend. I think Buffalo would have been until Denver just kept hanging it on the Kansas City Chiefs, 38-0. We saw the Broncos roll, early chatter in the streets. It seems like people feel Denver can hang inside this 8.5-point spread. The interesting thing for me, you see your total at 47.5. Now, yes, a big part of that is the Bills' offense that we know this year, 30-plus points, 8-9 consecutive weeks. We know how good Josh Allen and the Bills' offense has been. Josh closes the year as the favorite to win league's MVP. But the last time we saw the Buffalo Bills go up against a team projected to make the postseason was in Detroit, giving up 40-plus. And the week before that was in L.A., giving up 40-plus. Is the Bills' defense still going to be able to produce at a championship level? Test number one will be Denver. In the NFC side of the postseason, the Philadelphia Eagles are currently a 4.5-point favorite against the Green Bay Packers. And the Philadelphia Eagles are still a 4.5-point favorite against the Green Bay Packers, despite a note earlier today from Adam Schefter of ESPN that Jalen Hurts was still in concussion protocol. That very interesting to me. The conversation around Green Bay's Jordan Love, who exited early against the Bears in Week 18, is he will be good to go in this game against the Eagles. We're still waiting on an official word out of Philadelphia, and the books have not dropped this at all. Maybe they're waiting for a better two to come in, but you thought perhaps the books would go back to, I don't know, the look-ahead hypothetical line of -3, a little bit of protection against the world where Jalen Hurts misses this football game. Books don't seem to think that that is necessarily an option right now. We'll see as the week carries on and what this line would look like if it's instead going to be Kenny Pickett or maybe even Tanner McKee. It's a Sunday nighter in Tampa Bay with another NFC East team in the mix. That would be the Commanders, just like Eagles-Packers, a week one rematch. This was not close in week number one, a poor game out of Jaden Daniels, but an absolute rock star performance from Baker Mayfield. Can the Bucs keep the momentum rolling is a big question. I will say this, a very surprising line, maybe the most, if I'm honest with myself, of the wild card weekend. I did not think an NFC South champion would get that much respect on the number here, laying over a field goal, in fact, in most spots. Lastly, Monday night, you know we'll be here in the mix with you watching it the whole way. The LA Rams host the Minnesota Vikings. And my prediction at this moment is that the Minnesota Vikings, at a 1.5-point favorite, will put the LA Rams as maybe the most popular underdog in NFL wildcard history. Rams, 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 Rams. That is what betting cards will look like. Doesn't mean they're wrong, but I think that's the situation with the Rams holding their guys back, being at home, and the Vikings putting up the performance that they put up. just this past Sunday night against Detroit. We'll talk NFL postseason action, but we get to the best game on the NBA board tonight.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
In Sacramento, Kings Heat, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Game Time Decisions, and the NBA card tonight has some interesting spots. I've got a card certainly loaded up, and you could argue the best game is Philly and Phoenix with all the drama going on in the Valley. It's tied, though, to what I think is the most interesting game between Sacramento and Miami. A pair of 17-win teams. The Kings, though, have played 3 more games. They've lost 3 more games than the Heat. The Kings, at the moment, a 2.5-point home favorite, despite another absence for De'Aaron Fox. Fox, a part of the conversation, certainly, around what is going to happen with Sacramento. A Kings team, I won't run from it, never would, but certainly you can't when we do what we do, I thought had incredible value to win the Western Conference and placed a wager on it. Now, at a great price. The Mavericks are my NBA championship pick, but I still, despite that, thought Sacramento would have some juice. I thought that DeMar DeRozan being the third best player on this team would be good. It's not been great. Thought Mike Brown would be able to get this team back to a certain level. Mike Brown's not the coach of this team anymore. He's not. But all of a sudden, the Kings have themselves a little win streak going on. Not a massive one, but a nice one. 4 in a row. With a few double-digit victories in there, including yesterday's smashing of Golden State by 30. What stands out is during this run, you could argue the best player has been Malik Monk. Does De'Aaron Fox's current teammate and college teammate make it a little bit easier on Sacramento to potentially oblige a trade request if it does come down from De'Aaron Fox? Probably. Where would De'Aaron Fox end up? One place that would assuredly be interested and maybe have an inside edge if Fox likes playing with his Kentucky crew and Bam Adebayo, that would be the Miami Heat. So does the Miami Heat now, as they try and make their decisions, at all, try and factor in De'Aaron Fox coming available? Maybe things falling apart in Milwaukee? Maybe things falling apart in Phoenix. The Jimmy Butler situation, for anybody who's not been keeping close tabs on it through the NFL postseason, which I understand, is well beyond its breaking point. The trade request has been anteed up in a just get me out of here. The preferences are known. Dallas, Houston, Golden State, with a top spot being the Phoenix Suns. But even that's complicated. Phoenix is presently in disarray. They just dropped Bradley Beal and Yusuf Nurkic to the bench. I saw a theory out there that maybe Bradley Beal's been benched to make him a little more unsettled and happy within the organization, so he'll waive his no-trade clause, clearing the way for the Suns to acquire Jimmy Butler. Whether the Heat take Beal back or not, or you have to rope in a third team, is a question for a later date. It does feel like Phoenix is the early favorite for Jimmy. Golden State probably the second closest option. But what's very interesting is Miami is not looking, and smartly so, because I'm not sure the Jimmy Butler return would allow them to reset the deck, but that's not what they want to do. They want to contend. They want to compete. That's why currently somebody holding a Miami Heat team win total over as one of my favorite bets of the NBA preseason. I'm not in a panic. I'm just annoyed the deal's not done yet, because instead the Miami Heat's last two performances couldn't be worse. Give up 128 at home against Indiana and then 136 at home against Utah. I'm sure people are looking to load up on an over here tonight in Sacramento, but you can tell the absence of De'Aaron Fox is impacting some numbers. If you want to go against what is probably going to be the popular thought process of Fox's absence, you could go under points plus rebounds for DeMontis Sabonis. Those numbers in the last 2 years for Sabonis and what his props are tonight, 35.5, 36.5, are way too high based on what we usually see from him. The assist numbers do tick up for Sabonis, unsurprisingly, when Fox is absent. The number I really like, though, in this game is on Miami's big man Bam Adebayo for 10-plus rebounds. First of all, a clear and obvious classic bounce-back spot. Bam has missed this number in three consecutive games. But more importantly, Bam has missed this number in the last two games playing sub-30 minutes. Not because Bam Adebayo is in hot water with the organization in the same way that, of course, Jimmy Butler is, but because the Miami Heat keep getting absolutely smashed in games. Miami tonight against the Foxless Kings is just a 2.5-point dog with rest advantage in their favor since Sacramento played last night. I'm not sure Miami wins. I didn't want to play a side or a team total, though all of that was given some consideration. I just want Bam Adebayo to do what he does. Let's grab rebounds. I will note, he hasn't been great this season grabbing rebounds, really across the board, but even in Jimmy's absence. Last year, though, in 21 games without Jimmy Butler, 17 of them, he had double-digit boards. Bam Adebayo is going to have to wake up here for the Miami Heat, and I think he will. I mentioned the Phoenix Suns, so I might as well hit this aspect of the NBA card as well, because this game here tonight, you could easily argue, is the best and most intriguing on this slate with the benching of Beal and Nurkic. Well, this, for me, is a spot where I want to play first quarter over. Now, unfortunately, and not maybe surprisingly, a bet placed before Joel Embiid was ruled out for this basketball game. Embiid was certainly projected by sportsbooks to be playing. Now Phoenix a 1.5-point favorite earlier on in the day, we're a 3.5-point underdog. I like over, not really for Beal being benched, but for Yusuf Nurkic being benched. Yusuf Nurkic has been atrocious on the offensive side of the ball this year. He's been Phoenix's best defensive player, though. That's why the things are so bad for Phoenix right now. The roster is not working, and they're too reliant on guys that cannot stay healthy, like Durant and Nurkic this season, who stayed way too healthy last year. The Phoenix Suns, ultimately, are probably the most under-discussed storyline in the NBA this season, and I will tell you this now. No team in the NBA is happier about how things are going than the Houston Rockets. In the playoffs, cool, great, got it. They are eyeing up this situation in Phoenix. Initially, their thoughts were that they were going to have to trade for Durant. Things are so bad in the Valley, maybe next year they'll be able to get Devin Booker to request out and join on that Rockets young core. Time will tell. Let's get some Sports Millions pick 'em next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different.
to pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com.
Kevin Walsh here on Game Time Decisions. Still so much to get to on this busy Monday night. The NFL postseason picture is, of course, set. We've seen coaches now get fired. Some will be keeping their jobs. We get trade requests we talk about in the NBA and the NFL, maybe one from Tyreek Hill. But what can we do tonight? What can we get involved with tonight over on Sports Millions Pick'em? Well, we get a little bit of help. Tom Vecchio, who joined us a little bit here as well on the desk, and Joe Maddon with their action tonight over on Sports Millions Pick'em.
Tom, we have a great slate to start looking at our Sports Million picks today. I know you've got one here in basketball. I've got one in hockey, but I'll let you go first.
Yeah, let's jump into some NBA. The Knicks are at home. They're taking on the Orlando Magic. I specifically like Josh Hart higher than 9.5 rebounds. A, he's been a phenomenal rebounder, not just this season, dating back to last year. We look back at some of his recent game log. He's routinely putting up 12, 14, 16 rebounds. I also want to factor in that Karl-Anthony Towns is listed as questionable tonight. And let's be honest, like Karl-Anthony Towns has been absolutely phenomenal, but they don't need to push him out there in this matchup against the Magic. And when we look at the Magic overall, they're bottom 10 in the league when it comes to total rebounds as a team per game. So Karl-Anthony Towns, a little bit banged up with his knee injury. It's still a beginning portion of the season. Like, there's no need for him to be out there. So let Karl-Anthony Towns rest, get Josh Hart out there to do his thing, pile up 10 plus rebounds, and he's going to be in a great spot against the Magic tonight. I know you got one in hockey. What is it?
Okay, I love where you're going with that. And in hockey, I'm looking at the late game out here between the New Jersey Devils and the Seattle Kraken. And this is going to be a really interesting matchup because this Devils team has been struggling out there, Tom. But one thing that's been consistent is Dougie Hamilton. He's been so strong at being able to get those shots on goal. Now he's on that top defensive line as well as the top power play out here. And I do think his shots on goal is a nice way to look at tonight for the higher. That number coming in at 2.5. We look at him the last time that he faced the Seattle Kraken. He was able to get 4 shots on goal in that matchup. 126 shots on goal overall on the season here. Last game versus the Sharks, he had 4. Last game versus a strong Kings defense, he had 4 shots on goal. And facing the Seattle Kraken, who don't provide that resistance defensively, I think he should nicely be able to hit higher than 2.5 shots on goal. So that's where I'm going with Dougie Hamilton. You could look at him for his point as well, Tom, but I just feel like he's so much stronger here getting those shots tonight.
Yep, getting those shots on goal. Devils in a spot to rebound overall after a couple of tough losses for them, especially on the road. They are in a good spot tonight.
Yeah, this should be a really interesting matchup. One of these teams absolutely needs to get the win, but there are so many different games that you can look at for your Sports Millions picks tonight. I really like where we're going with both of these. Both of us are looking at the higher on our players tonight, Tom. So do you just want to recap who you're looking at one more time for us?
Yeah, Josh Hart higher than 9.5 rebounds. Great match of them going up against the Magic. Karl-Anthony Towns may not play. Let Josh Hart do his thing, pick up those boards, keep the Knicks in a great spot.
Okay, and for myself, I will look at Dougie Hamilton higher than 2.5 shots on goal here for the New Jersey Devils against the Seattle Kraken. Should be a great night out there on the basketball court as well on the ice. So you guys, all the best in your Sports Millions picks.
Great stuff as always from both Joe and Tom. And again, Tom will join us here shortly on Game Time Decisions. And Tom talking about Josh Hart tonight. And it's actually incredible to see the way the Knicks are rebounding the basketball overall. Karl-Anthony Towns leads the NBA in rebounds per game at 14, which, again, firstly, is incredible. Just to think about the fact that Cat was brought over and there was a lot of panic around what that would mean for the front court of the New York Knicks. Then you look at what Josh Hart's been doing over the last 7 games. He is currently averaging the 6th most rebounds per game in the NBA in that window since Christmas. It's not come at the expense of Cat, who's averaging the 2nd most in basketball at 14.7. It's just very impressive. And at some point, you expect Mitchell Robinson to get back in the mix. What will that mean for the New York Knicks, a team who I know dropped, you know, their most recent games, but I do think is, I think by the time we get to the postseason, they will feel like the challenger that many expected them to be to win the Eastern Conference. Two other guys to take a look at on the NBA side, Sports Millions pick'em wise. One is Giannis for higher than 31.5 points. Giannis and the Bucks enter tonight's game on a two-game losing streak. We have seen Giannis be excellent scoring the ball always, but specifically when we are watching a struggling Milwaukee Bucks team. And then Anthony Edwards right now, 24.5 higher, scored 53 last game. Perhaps more importantly, took 31 shots. I think Ant wants the basketball to try and snap Minnesota out of all of this. We'll bring Tom in next right here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. It is Game Time Decisions. Kevin Walsh with you. We've shown it a few times, just quickly, that NBA card for me tonight. We've mentioned the Bam Adebayo. 10-plus rebounds at even money. Mentioned the first quarter over that I'm going to play with the lineup changes for the Phoenix Suns at 54.5, their game with the Sixers. I'm also playing under 236.5 for the Bulls and the Spurs. I think there's a world that both teams' legs taken out of them a little bit with their most recent action. The great series between the Spurs and the Nuggets and Jokic versus Wemby. The Bulls coming off of Derrick Rose night. I also think those games that they played inflated a little bit the total that we see between those two teams tonight. And then I am going to lay the 2 points with the Minnesota Timberwolves at home against the Clippers. I think this is the bottom of the market for a team whose downfall is certainly one I was expecting preseason. I'm not sure I was even expecting at this level. People were trying to somehow tell themselves that Minnesota made a great deal with the Knicks. They made an atrocious one, a foolish one, and one at the time I said was very likely going to lead to Anthony Edwards asking out of Minnesota. The clock continues to tick. We just saw Tom, though, tell us a little bit about Josh Hart. He's now with us here, Tom Vecchio. Tom, I know you think Josh Hart can get it done off on the glass in the Knicks matchup tonight. Any other NBA action for you?
No other NBA action for me tonight. I have one NHL play tonight. I'm keeping it very simple. Coming off of a very average day I had yesterday, close out the NBA season, you know, kind of want to gear up for the playoffs. So I'm taking a little bit slow, at least these first few days of this week. I'm not like super big into college football. We've discussed this, but I will get some action on the board for the games this weekend. So it's like kind of ramping up for that.
All right, fair enough. You mentioned you are on the NHL board. Where are you going to be playing tonight?
That's just the Devils to win in regulation. It's the three-way money line. It was sitting at minus 125, minus 130. It continues to move a bit. The Devils are a good team. Like, they're on a West Coast road trip. They're on a, you know, multi-game losing streak at this point. But I like them where they are on the regulation. They're simply better compared to Seattle. And when we look at some of the advanced numbers for the Devils, their goal scoring rate per 60 minutes is actually lower than their expected goal scoring rate. So they are due for some like positive regression. So I'm just always going to be buying into good teams that like should be doing more offensively. And especially coming off the game that they lost against the Sharks, like just wasn't good performance from Jacob Marks from their goalie. So it's just like a bounce back spot, which I know you love. Like, they're just the right teams back in this spot.
Adore bounce back spot. Few things really better in sports. Let me ask you this quickly. I mean, it'd be not. I don't know. It's probably difficult to, you know, snap fingers and grab some a national slot. But with, of course, tonight being the first time we don't have Monday Night Football, we'll get it again next week. And I know you'll be part of the coverage there. But Colorado, Florida, maybe that's not unintentional from the NHL. That's a big time matchup. Two teams that are right now within the top six odds to win. You talk about two of the last three teams to win the Stanley Cup, and both certainly having solid enough seasons here. Tom, is that a game even just result wise you're interested in?
I am, especially coming off the game that the Avs had the other day. They lost in a not only they lost to the Habs, which is unbelievable, but they lost in a shootout. They had the lead late. Like, they just took penalties, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm always interested in these games where we have two good teams. Like, it's legitimately a coin flip game.
Yeah.
For me, it comes down to what we see from some of the players that like weren't performing in there in what was objectively an easy matchup versus the Habs, and if they bounce back. And the same thing with Florida. Like, they've been a little bit up and down. Florida also lost to the Habs at the end of, I don't know, the 30th, 31st, whatever it was. dating back, you know, just a couple of days ago. So like both of these teams are just a little bit up and down right now, but this is like a game they have to gear up for. It's kind of like what we just saw from the Thunder and the Celtics, like whatever the results were beforehand, but it's like, this is a game that you want to be ready for.
Yeah. I think that makes all the sense in the world. On the Colorado side, McKinnon, I noticed his MVP price is growing a little bit favorably. A few weeks back, I can't say exactly when, but I was talking with Dave Sharapan around the Hart Trophy. And you and I were just joking a little bit off air about, you know, my knowledge of the NHL, who I do and who I don't know. And Kaprizov is a guy who, again, a few weeks ago was booked as the favorite. And I'm not sure how familiar I am with Kaprizov. And I know this really might sound naive, but I feel confident in this take. You're not going to win the Hart Trophy in the season that I become familiar with you. There's just no way someone could surprise like that. And Kaprizov now jumped by both mainstays in McDavid and McKinnon.
So, first off, he was hurt. So that's just one thing. Number two, he is a former Rookie of the Year winner. So he's been in the league for a couple of years. He's a bona fide, like 40, 50 potential goal scorer. You know, for my money, I think he's going to be the next best Russian goal scorer behind Ovechkin. I'm not going to say he's going to have 800 some odd goals, but he has been on this path for multiple years, coming into the league as a highly touted prospect, winning Rookie of the Year, the Calder Trophy, and then, you know, being on this path over the past few seasons. The injury has certainly set him back, also combined with Minnesota, where they are in the standings. Like, they're a good team, and I think they're performing above expectations this year. And their goalie has certainly been good with Filip Gustavsson, but he's behind the eight ball, considering the name recognition that McDavid and McKinnon have. That's just really what it comes down to. He is phenomenal, though.
Yeah, no, listen, and now he's on the radar. He's on the radar. Yeah. Next year, a legitimate option. Feels like this year would just be a little bit too surprising. Tell me, Tom, of course, with the NFL postseason set, the wild card round, we've got six games to sink our teeth into. What is the one game where something maybe about the line surprised you or something you maybe feel strongly about right now?
The Rams. All Rams. The Rams, it's down to 1.5. It was 2.5 when it opened last night. I got it at 2.5. I'm on the Rams to win the conference. I was talking to Ben and Donnie this morning. If we just look at the odds for the conference overall for the NFC, if the Rams win, which I certainly think they can over Minnesota, and we see the Eagles beat the Packers, two of the teams ahead of the Rams will immediately be eliminated, right? So we're getting them at 13-1, 14-1, whatever it is. That number is going to drop. Right. And I'm not saying they're going to be the favorite. They're not as good as the Lions. They're not as good as the Eagles. But if the Eagles take care of business and we see the Rams upset the Vikings, that's going to be a great ticket to have at 14 or 13-1, which is I grabbed them this morning. So I'm just interested in that game. I'm also interested in the Philly under, depending on obviously Jalen Hurts, he's still in concussion protocol. And then the weather that could be an impact in Philadelphia. I know it's supposed to hit Saturday, Sunday, whatever happens with that. But like, we have two teams that want to run the ball. And combined with the weather, and that Hurts may not be throwing, or there may not be any as many designed runs for Jalen Hurts if he's coming off this concussion protocol. I already took him under 9.5 rushing attempts. Like, he should not be rushing the ball after this multi-week absence.
That's interesting. I think that just what I've occasionally seen from Philly is they like to almost go into the narrative a little bit, if you will. You think about the game against Pittsburgh where they're like, they can't pass. It's like, what if we only pass this game? Don't be surprised if Hurts runs it on the very first play of the game. Not saying they should, just don't be surprised if that's something that they did there. You mentioned the Rams. How far do you realistically see that team going, though? Because the one thing that they do have in their favor, you look at coach-quarterback combinations that are presently together and have put Super Bowl trophies on the board. I mean, it's them and then Mahomes and Reed, right? It's Stafford, McVay. It's Mahomes and Reed. So 14-1, yes, Tom, it's a great number if they win. But where do you see that number going? Do you actually feel that that team could get on a run and win the NFC?
They're not better than the Lions or the Eagles. Like, I'm fully on board with saying those teams are the best. But just having that ticket is something that I'm interested in. And plus the narrative going into, obviously, depending on how the reseeding works, lowest seed going to whatever may happen if they play at the Rams do. That would be an interesting matchup. And there'd be so much going into that with Stafford going up against his former teams. Like, it's the Lions year, all these things that I just want to have that ticket. So will they make it to the conference finals? Probably not, but I'm just buying into the ticket and a little bit of the hype that, like, they've proven it before. And that's what I want to know in the playoffs.
Yeah, look, they have a level of pedigree, again, that very few have. And in sports, that matters. It's not just an NBA thing. It's becoming more of an NFL thing than people realize. And when you think about the Chiefs have been unimpressive, but it's the Chiefs, right? So, yeah. And I'm not saying that it's an apples-to-apples comparison, but to your point around the LA Rams, you know, you'll be able to make, hey, would you rather Stafford or Goff? So it's an interesting one. Tom Vecchio, we appreciate it as always. We'll be right back talking a little bit more around the NFL postseason next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Game Time Decisions. And right now, you look at the card tonight, the NBA, there's a few interesting spots there we've gone through, and we can kind of just reset that for you quickly. You've got Detroit, who has the opportunity tonight with a win, 500 basketball in January for the Detroit Pistons. That's a big deal. 6.5-point favorite to do so. We'll see. They did just lose Jaden Ivey, very likely for the season. All that's going to do, though, is put more responsibility on Cade Cunningham, who's going to make an all-star team this year, maybe win most improved player in the NBA. It's been a great start so far for Detroit. The Pacers have a similar opportunity. I will say I'm a little tempted to grab the points with the Brooklyn Nets at home, make the Pacers prove it one more time that they are turning the corner. I'm going to back off. The injuries are bountiful for a bad team already. Cam Johnson, Ben Simmons, D'Angelo Russell's missing this game. I'm backing off. Just to give you some perspective, though, if the Pacers win that basketball game, this is going to be the first time they are over 500 since they were 1-0. It's taken a long time for the Pacers to get back to this level. We mentioned Sixers Suns over 54.5 for the first quarter. The injury news is just piling on now. Looking to take advantage of no Nurkic. Embiid out, Drummond out. It's not my favorite play. I think I can still get there, certainly on the ticket. But the Sixers are way more injured than I was anticipating heading into that one. Knicks Magic tonight, you're going to have New York laying 11.5. Milwaukee's numbers down to 5.5 due to Middleton being out. It shot up. I was tweeting about this earlier today. The Giannis props. You could eclipse some really good 30-plus odds at minus 115 for Antetokounmpo, who's leading the NBA in scoring at 32.3 points per game. But without Middleton, that number got just a touch out of the price range for me tonight. Some unfortunate news out of Dallas. Let me tell you, man, this is a Mavericks team. Keep your eyes on their price. I have already seen enough. You can call it confirmation bias if you want. It'd be a bit of a wild move to do with the most unbiased man in the history of sports media sitting in front of you. Whatever you want, though, I've seen enough to feel very good about my Dallas futures, and I will be willing to reinvest at a better price if it comes available. A four-game losing streak, losing 5 out of 6 with the Luka Doncic injury, certainly being tough to get through. Now Kyrie with a bulging disc is going to miss a couple of weeks of basketball as well. For Dallas, you got to get into the postseason. Dallas is going to get into the postseason. The Mavericks are currently right now the 6th seed, okay, just with tiebreakers and things of that nature. But a dog tonight, they're going to drop a little bit, the Mavericks, during this run. They, you know, you cannot let this extend 6, 7, 8 game losing streak here. But I know that the healthy Dallas Mavericks are one of the 4 best teams in the NBA. I feel very, very confident about that. Very confident. Dallas, Boston, OKC, and then we'll have a conversation. We'll have a conversation around the Cavs and the Knicks. For the Cavs, that's probably super unfair because they're 31-4. But that's a conversation we'll have in April. But I know in April, I already feel really good about who Boston, who OKC, and who the Dallas Mavericks are. Laying the 2 with Minnesota, I think that's bottom of the market. When you take a look at that number, and then in South Beach, where the issues in Miami don't just extend to the Heat. Ahmad Bam Adebayo, 10-plus rebounds. The issues also extend to the Miami Dolphins. If you have not heard what Tyreek Hill said yesterday, You have to appreciate the openness, but it was a little stunning. I don't even know if you want to call it a trade request. More as Tyreek Hill just talking. Let me allow you to listen to it, and we'll talk more about what this means for the Miami Dolphins and their star receiver. Here's Tyreek Hill after their loss yesterday to the New York Jets.
As a captain, what is the message you have to these guys in the offseason and you won't feel this at the end of the season next week?
I don't even know, bro. You know, this is my first time I haven't been in the playoffs, man. So, I mean, for me, like I said, man, I just got to do what's best for me and my family, dog. If that's here, if that's wherever the case may be, man, I'm finna open that door for myself, dog. As I'm opening the door, like I'm out, bro. You know, so it was great playing here, but... You know, at the end of the day, bro, I got to do what's best for, you know, for my career and, you know, what's best. Because I'm too much of a competitor to be, you know, just
out there. Does that mean you're thinking about leaving here?
Tyreek Hill there in clear disbelief, right? That the Miami Dolphins are going to miss the postseason. The Miami Dolphins finished the season 8-9. They lost yesterday to the Jets. They needed a win and some help. You wonder how much of that result was tied to the unlikeliness of the help, which was Denver losing to Kansas City. Certainly a lot of it, though, also has to do with the fact that Tyler Huntley was their quarterback within that game as well. I know Huntley threw for 225. I know the defense allowed Aaron Rodgers to throw four passing touchdowns, potentially on the way out. And that video, again, there came from Omar Kelly, so just to credit that there. I don't want to hold Tyreek Hill too much to those words. I don't know how much thought Tyreek Hill put into those words. Clearly, Tyreek Hill is not going to sign up to play for anything less than a team that has high expectations, though. And I think that is where, if you're the Dolphins, if you're Tyreek, it feels as if that moment is Tyreek going, this isn't a legitimate contender, because you should be able to go, Tyreek, well, hold on, we're above 500 with Tua. If we had Tua, you know, some of the losses we had, Colts, Titans, Seattle, we would have been fine if we just had Tua. I don't think Tyreek believes that. Does Miami believe that? Because they're already committed to bringing back Mike McDaniel. It looks like it could be an odd offseason, certainly in South Beach. There's already some odd offseasons loading up. We'll talk about that next year. It's Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Game Time Decisions, and we saw some decisions made around the National Football League, some surprising, some not so much. One that would have been very surprising to me a few weeks ago, but became pretty clear, was the decision made by the New England Patriots on Jerod Mayo. If you looked, there was some buzz around it a week or two out from the season coming to a close, right? Then yesterday, we saw Adam Schefter suggest that his expectation with Mayo would be gone. So some people think maybe Jerod Mayo was fired for winning that football game against Buffalo. Nope. He might have been fired at the second the game ended because they were bothered that that win for the New England Patriots cost them the first overall selection and did drop them back ultimately to 4, potentially outside the range of Travis Hunter, certainly outside the opportunity to trade the first overall pick and whatever you could have netted from that. But I believe the New England Patriots had made the decision well before yesterday's game that they were going to move on from Jerod Mayo. And I don't think Jerod Mayo got a fair shake whatsoever. The Patriots were projected to be the worst team in football. They were the worst team in football. You got exactly what you paid for. I owe him someone who I think it is still the majority believe you're better off with an offense-first coach than defense-first coach. The Patriots had this succession plan for Gerard Mayo for a very long time. And I think part of the reason Gerard Mayo is gone is what is now likely a real disdain between Kraft and Belichick. I remember when the Philadelphia Eagles let Chip Kelly go, Howie Roseman back in charge. Anyone tied to Chip Kelly, player-wise, gone. Had to be moved from. I wonder if Mayo being gone is almost somewhat Robert Kraft once again now saying, I got to get out of the Bill Belichick era. Forget the Patriot way, the Robert Kraft way. We need to win football games. You know, the idea is Ben Johnson is going to command a lot of money and a lot of control. I think Robert Kraft's ready to give it to him. Before Adam Schefter was out there telling people he leaned out for Gerard Mayo, there were tweets suggesting that keep an eye on Ben Johnson in New England. Ben Johnson, I'm sure, was not surprised to see the end result for the New England Patriots yesterday. Maybe a little disappointed to see that they beat the Buffalo Bills. I feel as if that is where this is all trending towards. Ben Johnson ending up the head coach of the New England Patriots. The New York Giants will not be looking for a new head coach. They're going to stick with Dable, as well as their general manager, Joe Shane. Some people in New York frustrated by this. I wouldn't be. I still think Brian Dable's a good coach. I think Daniel Jones is about the worst franchise quarterback we've ever seen. I still can't believe that they made that decision. And yes, the guys who made that decision in part are both Dable and Shane. I don't know how much of a choice they had in the matter. But you look back at the decisions that they made this past April, you could argue they got the most talented football player in that draft in Malik Nabers. You could argue it. What I feel pretty good about is they got a player in Malik Nabers much better than any of the wide receivers that'll be entering this draft. Travis Hunter notwithstanding, the two-way versatility, that's a different conversation. The question for the Giants is, do they get to try their hand at drafting Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, or are they looking for a stopgap, Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers? Do they want to pay a Brock Purdy, a Sam Darnold? I think they draft. But man, would it be interesting if the Giants said, listen, we're going to stick this out for the long term. We'll draft in 2026 when the quarterback class is supposed to be much better. Some other news, and certainly tied to the draft, the Jaguars move on from Doug Peterson. They keep Trent Baalke. Jacksonville drafting 5. I don't think any team would be more willing to let Travis Hunter do whatever he wants than the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just don't know if Travis Hunter lasts all the way to 5. We mentioned McDaniel gets to keep the job in Miami. You're also going to see the job stay for Shane Steichen in Indianapolis. A very good decision. I still think Steichen has the goods. I don't know what's going to become of that quarterback room. One interesting and one headline bit of news in the coordinator world, Lou Anarumu out for Cincinnati. What else is new? Bad decisions made by the Bengals front office. This offseason is going to be a disaster for that group. They're not playing postseason football. We'll talk about the teams that are next.